Welcome to Body Signals, a Cygnos podcast. I'm your host, Bill Tanser, Chief Data Scientist here at Cygnos. This is Season 4, Episode 12, How to Enjoy Your Holiday Meals with Cygnos. On this episode, I'm joined by our very own registered dietitian, metabolic success coach, and frequent co-host, Alyssa Wilson. With the holiday season kicking off in just a few days, Alyssa and I discuss some strategies that you can use to both enjoy your holiday meals while also staying on track with your weight loss and wellness journey. Specifically, we talk about the dangers of all-or-nothing thinking when it comes to festive meals, strategies for de-stressing and entering the holidays with a positive mindset, meal strategies in the balance plate, things to keep in mind when drinking during the holidays, some wonderful new wellness traditions you can walk into this season, this and so much more. Now on to the show. Welcome back to Body Signals. I am so excited to have Alyssa Wilson back in the house. She is our metabolic success coach, registered dietitian. She does so many jobs at Cygnos. But the reason I wanted to have her on today is we're going to do a special episode all about Thanksgiving. In fact, what we're going to talk about probably applies to all holidays. So if you happen to be going through Body Signal episodes, give this one a listen if there's a holiday coming up, because we're going to talk about some challenges around Thanksgiving and some great tips. So Alyssa, great to have you on the show.
I'm so excited to be back and to talk about the holiday season, starting off with Thanksgiving and how to be healthy during the holidays.
And you are the perfect person to talk to. But I have a question for you. Just getting personal in terms of your Thanksgiving, are you more of the person who cooks the Thanksgiving dinner, or do you fall in the camp of somebody who shows up and there's another family member that's doing the cooking?
I actually have been the family member who shows up and enjoys all the food, but have kind of turned into the family member who can now bring a side dish or some healthy option to have at Thanksgiving.
That is the best. I'm similar to you. I used to be the person who cooked every year, and I've cooked for as many, I think my record was 29 people. Wow. But now I'm the one who shows up with a side dish. And I got to say, I love being the Thanksgiving participant who just has one side dish to bring.
I know.
Versus having to cook an entire meal for loads of people.
It brings down the stress level a little bit.
It does. But there's an interesting side effect that I've noticed. Now, this might probably not shock you, but I've been measuring my weight every single day for the last 11 years. And before we recorded this episode, I went through and just looked at Thanksgiving over 11 years, and not just Thanksgiving, but the days from Thanksgiving to the end of the year. And it is the period of time that I gain the most weight. So I know that there is no bad food. We should meet people where they are. We should feel free to celebrate and enjoy ourselves. But at the same time, I've got some, I don't know, let's call them data hangups, looking at my past weight data. And I know that this is a trouble period for me. So it's another reason why I'm so excited you're joining us today.
Yeah. And you know what? You're not alone. I've actually gone through my data within the Cygnos app and looking at how I was, you know, during the previous two holidays, Thanksgiving, the previous 2 years of Thanksgiving. So I can see in my reports that my time and range percentage went down starting around Thanksgiving over like through the rest of the year. And then also that my average glucose was a little bit higher during that time. And I'm really looking at these trends. So some of the tips that we're going to talk about allows you to enjoy these special holiday times, the meals that you can get during this time with your family and friends, but helps you to get right back on track so we're not kind of, doing this yo-yo throughout the course of the year.
Yeah, I'll just speak for myself personally. I don't know if this is the same thing you've encountered, although it sounds like you've got similar experiences. And yes, and if I look at my Cygnus data, I see the same trends. But going back the last 4 years, I've been on Cygnus, that my time in range goes down, my average glucose goes up. In that holiday period, we had actually my wife as a guest on a year ago, and we talked about holidays and stress. And another concept she brought up was is this black and white thinking that, you know, maybe I'm on this wellness journey and I have this incredibly heavy meal on Thanksgiving. And in my past self, I would just think, okay, all bets are off. I'm just not going to worry about this anymore. And then I have the leftovers, which we're going to talk about the next like 4 or 5 days. And then other holidays or other holiday parties are coming up. And it's not until January when I decide to get back onto my wellness journey. So I guess there's like this balance we can strike as individuals about enjoying ourselves, not keeping ourselves from the foods that we want to enjoy on this holiday, but at the same time, being able to get back on our wellness journey in the interim days between holidays and leading into the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's some really effective strategies that can help you as far as, you know, not falling off and then snowballing and letting it grow and grow, and where we're really, you know, not being our healthiest selves, but also being able to enjoy these foods and not have that all or nothing mentality where we're depriving ourselves over the holidays, which is going to make us crave that even more. So we want to have a very fine balance, not restrict ourselves and enjoy these holiday meals, but also enjoy healthier dishes, and then, you know, these other healthy habits such as moving our body. The stress piece that you just mentioned, that's huge. So really, we'll discuss some of these things that can be very, very helpful. But yes, no all or nothing mentality when it comes to, you know, foods and eating and the holidays. So that's definitely something that I did want to mention. We want to make sure that we are enjoying it. That's the whole point. The food.
I feel like we have our own little Thanksgiving support group going on here.
Yes,
and I'm really appreciative that you're here to kind of commiserate with me, because it sounds like I'm not the only one that
experiences. You're not the only one. And we want our members and our listeners to enjoy, you know, these delicious Thanksgiving meals. And we'll talk about some tips on how you can do that and still be healthy over the holidays.
Let's talk about the day itself. So one other thing I've noticed looking through my data over the last 11 years, the years that I cooked, I tended to gain more weight. And looking at my Cygnus app, the 1 year that I cooked, I tended to be way more out of range. I think it's because I tend to eat a lot while I'm cooking. So are there some strategies we can use if we are the stressed out hosts that are cooking all these foods, or we're in this envious position that you and I are in as being the single side dish contributors to a Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah. So I'm actually going to even go back a day and start with getting a good night's sleep before Thanksgiving Day, where you have to cook all of your meals. So starting off.
So important.
It's so important. And we tend to think that, you know, the less sleep, the better we can power through it. But we want to get a good night's sleep so our hunger hormone is optimal, our fullness hormone is in that range that we want it to be in, so where we're not having these cravings and then add stress to the mix, and you're really going to have those sugar cravings. And so you're going to want to eat more, and you're not going to realize that you're full. So we want to start the night before with going to bed on time, you know, making sure we're getting good quality sleep. So when we're waking up the next morning, we're in a really good place. And I always say start that morning with breakfast. We don't want to skip meals Thanksgiving Day. Now, it's okay to be cooking for everyone and tasting and sampling what you're cooking. That's great. But we really want to make sure that we are starting the morning with a healthy, balanced breakfast. We're including protein, we're including healthy fats, we're including carbohydrates. Bonus if you can get any veggies in the morning to really set the stage for the day. Because if we skip our meals and our blood sugar's lower, we're going to have these cravings. We're going to want to pretty much eat everything in sight without, without being able to stop almost. And that's a hormone issue. We really want to make sure that we're starting the morning with a balanced breakfast.
That is such a great suggestion. And I actually was just kind of reliving some of those big Thanksgiving dinners that I prepared in the past. And I remember waking up very early and skipping breakfast, but also being incredibly stressed at the same time. And I would probably estimate that a lot of my eating before the actual Thanksgiving dinner was stress eating.
Yeah.
But what a great suggestion to maybe, I'll add to that and maybe do a little bit of breathing exercise or mindfulness meditation if you find yourself stressed. Like, I've got all this to do before everyone shows up. Take a minute. It's all going to be okay. Take some deep breaths. Then, to your suggestion, have that healthy breakfast balanced with some good fats and proteins and some complex carbs. What a great suggestion. That might also help curb your hunger as you then start to cook the meal.
Exactly, exactly. You just want to start that morning off because, like you mentioned, it's very common for us to say, all right, we have a big Thanksgiving meal later on the day. Well, then I'm just going to skip eating all day and then I'm just going to save everything for at night. And that's not what we want to do. We want to make sure that we are trying to keep this day as typical as our other days and having those meals at breakfast, that lunch, or if you're doing Thanksgiving, an earlier Thanksgiving, you know, making sure you're having dinner. So just being as consistent as routine as possible.
I think it's a great, great suggestion. So then we get into the day. We're cooking. For some people, stress levels start to rise. It's not just getting the meal prepared, but also there might be familial stress going on.
Yeah.
Other things. Are there any suggestions you have as you actually get around to mealtime? People are showing up, hors d'oeuvres are out. How do you, or should you, pace yourself during that day, or think about, you know, that day as you're greeting friends and family and starting to put food out?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly want to focus on our family, our friends, the holiday season, and try not to fixate as so much on the food. That can also help with our stress management, and incorporating other things like you mentioned, the deep breathing and the meditation. But, you know, I always say if you're going to start your meal, try and start with some type of vegetable so you're getting in that fiber. So if there are any hors d'oeuvres or you see any like vegetable trays, or if you even bring your own healthy side dish, you know you have something there that you can start your meal off with these vegetables. And then I always say, and this can be harder to do and it takes practice, but it all goes back into mindful eating, is that we want to enjoy these foods that we get, especially over the holidays. So we want to be able to, you know, sit down and really enjoy them versus being distracted. And then you're eating them. You don't even really get to enjoy it or even taste it because you're distracted. So one little tip that I like to mention is to take that first bite and chew it really slowly. And that kind of gets you into that headspace of saying, okay, like I'm going to just relax and enjoy this food and just really get to increase our satisfaction with that food by eating slowly and being mindfully there.
In your house, or what the house you're going to with your side dish, is the meal served buffet style?
Yes.
Or is it plates that are actually being presented to you? And let's talk a little bit about the difference in those two. I would much prefer the buffet style because I can just sort of pick and choose what I want to eat to kind of maximize both what I'm interested in and also what might be more kind on my glucose.
Yeah, you know, we do it buffet style. So I always use my plate as a tool to build a healthy meal. So I always say, let's try to have at least half of your plate some type of vegetable. So whether you have a green bean casserole or a side salad or carrots or any type of vegetable, and then you can build your plate into a quarter of your plate protein, and then a quarter of your plate saving it for those yummy, delicious Thanksgiving foods. And that way you're really setting the stage and starting with those vegetables first and then eating your protein and then eating those, you know, maybe the yummy more Thanksgiving holiday meals and desserts. Setting up your plate is a great way, and it's easy to do that buffet style. If you are being served, you know, typically we start off our meals with a salad. So you are getting that fiber and that those vegetables in first. And then, you know, having your delicious turkey and the protein and then any type of potatoes or some type of carbohydrate with that. So, you know, going back to your goals and even the stress of it, if you aren't able to kind of choose what you're eating, you do. It is your body and your choice to say like, okay, maybe I only want a few bites of this. I'm going to eat more vegetables. I'm going to eat these slowly, really enjoy it. And setting up your plate and choosing what you want to eat.
Great, great suggestions. So here's a challenging one. If I look back at last Thanksgiving, I think I reached a peak in my glucose at 220 milligrams per deciliter. And it came early. We usually have our Thanksgiving dinner, not really at dinner time, usually around 3 or 4 in the afternoon.
Yep.
I had a couple of glasses of wine with that meal, and then my glucose was just off the hook for the rest of the evening. Going into nighttime hours and when I was asleep, I was still really elevated. So any thoughts, tips about alcohol? Because I'm assuming that the alcohol is one of the things that kept my spike going for so long.
Yes, we see this with alcohol intake. And because of oxidative priority, your body is basically metabolizing that alcohol first. So you will see the delayed spikes from the meal and the foods that you're eating. And that's probably why you're seeing that into the night. Alcohol, you really want to watch out for those sugary drinks or mixers. And sugar with alcoholic beverages can come in many forms and many names. It could say agave or simple syrup. You can have fruit juice or these pre-made cocktail mixes. So we really want to stick to the alcohol that doesn't have a lot of added sugar. And also making sure that you're eating with the alcohol, not drinking on an empty stomach, because that's very quickly absorbed in the bloodstream. And then you may have more intense side effects from the alcohol. And then you may even, you know, just eat everything in sight that you want to. So we want to make sure that we are, you know, not having alcohol on an empty stomach, pairing it with some type of protein, some type of healthy fat, and that we are drinking plenty of water as well. So, you know, making sure that we have at least a glass of water in between each glass of alcohol. And just be careful and keep in mind that, like I mentioned, it's going to impact your cravings and your hunger and your appetite, but it also may impact your sleep, which we don't want. And that could send us into that roller coaster on the next day where you have a poor night's sleep, elevated glucose throughout the night. And then the next day, you know, it's not willpower. It's your body's craving these, the caffeine, the leftovers, the sugary foods. So, just be aware of, you are the type of person where the alcohol is really impacting your sleep.
I'm starting to build a new strategy based on what you're saying. I think one of the things I'm going to do is probably shift my drinking to earlier in the day with food, but also really pay attention to hydration this year, which I did not last year. So I think that's a great suggestion. I also think, unlike what I did last year, I had Thanksgiving dinner kind of early, and then I think I really... it was kind of drawn out and dessert like much, much later. I'm going to try and eat my meal, not quickly. I'm going to slow down, enjoy it, enjoy my company, but not delay dessert for like 2 hours. So that, you know, I think that's one of the things that also pushed my spike into the late evening hours.
Yeah. So if you can have that dessert at the end of your meal versus taking that break and then eating dessert and then you know, going to bed maybe shortly afterwards. So we really want to make sure that we're having that dessert at the end of the meal. And notice I'm not saying you can't have the dessert. I want you to have the dessert. I want you to enjoy it. But, you know, choose the dessert that you really want. Maybe there is some type of cake that you're like, that's not what I really want. Choose the one that you're going to really enjoy. You know, have a smaller serving size. Have it after your dinner. And hopefully your dinner had a lot of vegetables in it, and enjoy it.
So what you're saying is I probably shouldn't put every dessert on my plate like I have in previous years. So one slice of apple pie, one slice of pecan pie, one slice of pumpkin pie, and a piece of cake.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you have like a bite of each one on your plate. My mother-in-law makes pecan pie, and it is just amazing. That is something I will never say no to, ever. But I have learned to kind of keep it at the end of my meal, eating a little bit early. But you know what? Instead of just, you know, eating your big Thanksgiving meal and sitting down for the rest of the night, you know, how about going for a walk or moving or doing some type of activity with your family outside? Just to get our body moving.
I'm so glad you said that. That is a great suggestion. I'm going to try and start a new tradition in my family. I encourage everyone to do this. Is after your meal, if weather permitting, it's not too crazy outside, maybe everyone goes for a nice walk through the neighborhood outside. It's a great practice to be in regardless of what day it is or if it's a holiday or not. But maybe this year, yeah, I think this is the year. We've got a good forecast. We're going to all go outside and have a nice walk after dessert.
Yeah. I mean, just some way to kind of move your body. It's a fun way to bond with the family, and it's a great way to help lower your glucose after that meal.
Great, great suggestion. I want to mention something that I've noticed through the years at Cygnos. I love our members, and I love seeing their comments in our private Facebook group. And there are a lot that happen around Thanksgiving. I'm guilty of this, but I see a lot of members do the same thing. We do this catastrophizing over our glucose on Thanksgiving Day. And yeah, I get it. I mean, I do that. I even mentioned that my glucose went up to 220 and was elevated that whole day last Thanksgiving. I instituted a new practice when that's happened to me now is, first, I don't beat myself up about it, but I also do a little interoception exercise. So I just kind of look at my Cygnos app, look at how high my glucose is, and just ask myself, am I feeling any differently? How am I feeling? What are the feelings I have? And just sit with that. And sometimes it's like, ugh, I feel kind of gross. It's okay. I've made the choices to eat all of those desserts at once. And rather than beat myself up, I'm just going to let my mind-body connection build about what a high glucose feels like, because I don't really get my glucose up that high many times during the year. So I almost see it as an opportunity, a positive, to see what 220 actually feels like. Do I feel any different? And maybe I can use this as a future reference point.
Yeah. I mean, that's such a great outlook on it. And really taking the time, you know, if you are spiking and your glucose levels are getting up, use the Cygnos app. Write down a note how you're feeling so you can really start to make that connection between, you know, just how you're feeling and what your body is doing. And then do not be hard on yourself and do not stress about it, because our stress is only going to make it worse. So if you overate, drop the guilt. It's totally okay. Focus the next day on getting up, moving your body, drinking a lot of water, balancing your meals, getting those vegetables in, and just move on. And that's okay. One day is not going to throw everything off. You know, if you are doing that Thanksgiving meal every single day, then we want to talk about that and, you know, maybe make some suggestions on ways to, you know, stabilize our blood sugar a little bit more. But Thanksgiving, it's okay if you overate and you just move on the next day. You know, we don't want to have any guilt around it.
So let's move on to that next day.
Yes.
One of my favorite things, I think, in life has been the Thanksgiving Day leftover sandwich.
Yum.
So I'm talking about two nice pieces of sourdough bread. Used to be turkey. I'm vegan now, so some slices of tofurkey. I know, not the best. I'm not a big fan. Then some cornbread stuffing, maybe a little bit of sweet potato, and some of my Zinfandel cranberry sauce that I make, all in a sandwich. And I could eat that, you know, with leftovers for an entire week. But what I've noticed is that I do elevate my glucose every single day on that specific meal, because it's got a lot in it. So any suggestions as to how I can come up with a better leftover strategy?
Yeah. So I would say, you know, if you're going to have that, those leftovers, like you just mentioned, having it earlier in the day so you can move your body, maybe you schedule, you know, some type of workout, even if it's like a 15-minute strength training workout afterwards can be helpful. Or just use the plate method. That's what I love to do with leftovers. So maybe I have the leftover vegetables, the leftover turkey, the stuffing, but keeping that to about a quarter of my plate. So saving those leftovers and having that, maybe not all at once, but just balancing each meal. Maybe we don't have to eat typical breakfast foods. You know, I love having like leftovers, like a dinner plate almost for breakfast. And then doing another one for lunch and then dinner. So you can really enjoy those leftovers, but making sure that your plate is balanced.
Great suggestions. So, wow, you've thrown in some great tips for us just across the board. Is there anything we missed? Any other tips that you want to leave our listeners with?
I would just say, you know, this is Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy the food. And just enjoy the holiday season. Don't be too hard on yourself. You don't have to implement all these tips, but focus on one thing to incorporate this Thanksgiving season, right? In this holiday season, maybe write down your goal or keep your goal in the back of your mind and just have that throughout the holidays.
Yeah, just to reiterate, we had some great suggestions here, from moving after the meal to having that balanced breakfast to maybe some mindfulness minutes in between if you find yourself stressed, to the balanced plate, just all great suggestions. Alyssa, I can't thank you enough for being on Body Signals again to provide us this very special episode. And I just want to wish you a great Thanksgiving and a wonderful holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Body Signals. If you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe to our feed. Also, please share this episode with your friends. For those of you who are not yet Signos members, go to Signos.com, Signos.com, and use the code BODYSIGNALS, all one word, to get your 15% discount on Signos. We look forward to seeing you on our next episode of Body Signals.